We welcome you to our Passion Palm Sunday service. It's good to have everyone here with us. I'm going to have a couple of readings for you to kind of position. Like I said, this is Passion and Palm Sunday. We don't do any midweek services, so we're going to talk both about a little bit about the Palm Sunday coming in, the Passion in terms of what happens because of it. So we're going to have readings from both of those from the book of Matthew. I'm going to start with Matthew 21, verses 6 through 11. Both of these are from the New Revised Standard Version, the updated edition of that. So hear now these words. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowd that went ahead of him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in just turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Then continuing on with the story a little later in the week, this comes from Matthew 27, 20 through 26. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is often called the Messiah?" And all of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then he asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they all shouted even more, "Let him be crucified." So, when Pilate saw that he could do nothing but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and he washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it for yourselves." Then the people as a whole answered, "His blood be on us and also on our children." So he released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Now, for the past probably 10 years, my messages on this Palm Passion Sunday and even Easter Sunday have been very heavily influenced by one book. That book is The Last Week. And I have a brief excerpt from that I want to share with you. It's written by Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan. And in The Last Week, they have this to say. The execution of Jesus by crucifixion was a political act. It was the normal way the Roman Empire dealt with those it regarded as threats to its authority. Crucifixion was not only about killing, but about humiliation and warning. It was meant to say, this is what happens to those who challenge the power of Rome. Jesus was killed because his message and his activity challenged the domination system. So, we're going to ask you if you have a moment, if you would take a moment and share some music with you. You got some time, obviously.
We have some time, yeah. A little song just about not being scared to take a leap. Leap of faith, so to speak. It's called Thumping the Bear. All throughout my life, I've heard it explained. Nothing ventured. Nothing can be gained. I've been too scared of failure. Your reach for rain. But doing nothing gets me nothing. Doing something gets me every time. It's time I try to say things wrong. Time to put my dreams back in the side. Time to get my courage up and step into the land. Time I was spoken for dead. What do I want to do? What do I want to see? What do I want to feel? Who do I want to be? Won't get there by the truth. I'll do what I must. It takes believing in yourself and just a little trust. Take that first step. Go to where the secrets are kept. Time to pull the curtain back and see who lies there. Time to be poking the bear. Poking the bear. Find out what my future might hold. It's time for me to do something. Look in the mirror. It's right at the top of what I need to do to help me find my bliss. Why did I just leave? Didn't I take much to get me going right? To get my soul in touch? Go ahead, take that first step. Find out where your dreams have set. Go ahead and take your shot, no reason to be scared. Don't be afraid of poking the bear.
We really appreciate it. Glad to have you here today.
Yeah.
My message this morning is entitled "The Parade That Got Somebody Killed." So over the last many years on Passion Palm Sunday, most of you have heard me give a sermon entitled "The Passion in the Palms." Many of you actually requested I deliver it again the next following year. It was very kind of storyteller, emotional, comparing the two back and forth. And in that particular sermon, I would tell you that these stories that we just heard today in our scripture readings were about us. And now, I said we are the crowd, that we shout Hosanna one day and then crucify the next, that we get caught up, swept up, pulled by pressure and fear. And I still think that there's truth in that. But I don't think it's the most important truth in this story anymore. Because, you see, the more that I have sat with this story over the years, the more that I have watched the world around us, the more that I have paid attention to how power actually works, I don't think this is mainly a story about the fickle crowd from day to day. I think this is a story about what happens when ordinary people start hoping out loud. And what happens when power doesn't like that they're doing it. So very briefly, let me retell the story again. Now, this is a story about a church parade, like it will be told in so many churches today. Not as a safe, familiar story, but as it might maybe have felt at the time. But you see, Jerusalem is on edge. The city, it's just packed. It's packed. People are everywhere. The governor is in town. Soldiers are watching. Leaders are getting somewhat nervous because this is the season when the people remember liberation. And they don't just remember it. They celebrate liberation. And you better believe that systems built on control, they don't like it when people start remembering their freedom. And so there are two parades. From one side, the governor comes in. War horses, weapons, a show of force, a message without words that says, don't you get any ideas. And then from the other side, Jesus comes in. No horse, no weapons, no army, just a borrowed donkey, a crowd of everyday people, and a hope that has started to maybe take shape. And they start shouting, Hosanna! Now, here's the thing. That's not a shout of yay! Like most of us, honestly, been kind of trained to hear that. Hosanna! Yay! Which actually means something more like, save us. Help us. Do something. That's what it means in the original Greek. Save us. Help us. Do something. Let's not rush past that moment in this story. I don't want you to say anything out loud here. I just want you to sit with this for just a second. Think about a place around the world, or maybe even something even closer than that, where people might be saying that right now. Save us. Help us. Do something. You don't have to say who it is, just hold that in your mind for a moment. And as best as you can, hear their voices crying out, save us, help us, do something. That is what Hosanna sounds like. Hosanna, save us. See, that's where this story actually begins. Not with certainty, not with control. It starts with people who are tired. People who are hoping. People who are ready for something to change. But here's what we know. When people start hoping out loud, when they start gathering, when they start imagining something different, power shifts to pay attention. As history has shown us again and again, power then rarely responds with kindness. So, I'm not sure anymore that the crowd suddenly changed like I told the story so many times ago, so many times before. I don't think that they just woke up one moment the next morning and went, you know what? Never mind. Let's go with the crucifixion thing. I think something else has happened. I think the hope got complicated. I think the dream got uncomfortable. I think the moment started to cost something. Because you see, Jesus didn't become what people expected him to become. He didn't take control. He didn't fight back the way that people thought he would. He didn't play by the rules of the game that people usually use to win the game. He kept talking about love. The kind of love that crosses lines. The kind of love that includes people that other people leave out. The kind of love that refuses to be controlled by fear. And the kind of love, that kind of love, it's hard to manage. So the system does what systems do. It watches. It waits. Then it moves. Jesus is arrested, not because he was kind, not because he was inspiring, but because he was becoming a problem. The state calls him dangerous. Religious tries to keep things orderly. The power closes in. And what happens next is not something that's random. It's not mysterious. It's what happens. When power decides that it needs to make a point, public humiliation, public violence, public execution, a body exposed, a body shamed, a body treated like it doesn't matter. This is what systems do. They push back, they protect themselves, they make examples, they meet hope with pressure, they meet courage with consequences, they meet love with force. And if that feels familiar, well, it should. It should have been. Because we've seen this, not just in the history books, in real life, even in our own time, we've seen this. We've seen what happens when people speak up. We've seen what happens when people gather. We've seen what happens when systems feel threatened. We've seen force, we've seen fear, we've seen intimidation. We've seen neighbors who live with uncertainty, neighbors who carry anxiety every day, neighbors who wonder if today is the day that everything changes. And for many, that shows up in encounters with immigration enforcement, not as something abstract, not as something personal, something that shapes how you move through the world, something that makes you look over your shoulder, something that reminds you that power can show up uninvited. See, this is not just a story about back then. This is a story also about now. Because Palm Sunday is what happens when people take to the streets, and Good Friday is what happens when power pushes back. I mean, yesterday, all across the country, people took to the streets. Some of us were even there, not because we had everything figured out, and not even because we agreed with every detail of what was going on, but because something in us said, this isn't right. The signs said, no kings, but what they really meant was something much older, something much deeper. They were saying, we do not belong in systems that are ruled by fear. We don't belong to power that demands silence. We belong to something that is so much better than that. And whether we realize it or not, when we showed up, we stepped into that story that is a lot older than any of us. So, here's the question, and it's not necessarily an easy one, and it's not the one that I've asked of us in the past to answer on Passion Palm Sunday. The question isn't any longer, would we have shouted Hosanna? Because honestly, I think most of us would have. The real question is, what happens next? What happens when hope becomes uncomfortable? What happens when standing starts to cost us something? What happens when the energy of the parade fades and the pressure starts to build from the systems of domination? It's one thing to show up for a moment. It's another thing to stay. It's one thing to care. It's another thing to act. It's one thing to believe in love. It's another thing to live it when it's not easy. Will we be people who gather and then just drift away? Or will we be people who gather and stay? Will we speak when it's safe? Or will we stand when it is difficult? Will we love the idea of justice or commit to the work of gaining justice? because the parade didn't fail. It actually showed us something. It showed us what we're up against. It showed us how power works, and it showed us that even in the middle of all of that, people still showed up. They still hoped, they still spoke, they still believed, and as we saw yesterday, they still do. So today, we remember the parade. We remember the hope. We remember the way power pushed back. And we ask ourselves honestly, when hope rises, when voices gather, when love takes to the streets, will we be there? And will we still be there when it starts to cost us something? Hosanna, save us. Change this. May we not just say it. May we live like we mean it. Doug, get you to do another.
This one, well, the title of content probably tells you everything, but there's also a reference very early on to a local landmark. The song is called Find Your Joy.
There's a fella in front of the best way. Let's get the blues the best we can. We can make the tears, the light in pockets, hell in the hell we begin. Got a song out of my pocket, and dropped it in his case. And he looked at me with a Cheshire cat down and wears a fuzzy face. These three words, what he said to me, find your joy. He said, I found this joy out in the woods and was scrapping old guitar. Never cared about being on stage. Never cared about being a star. Working job, raising family. But now they're all gone. That's okay. The one thing to do is it's like this. We keep on keeping on. These three words that for me, just like it for me. Find your joy. There's a voice out here who will show me your joy might be in your song. Your joy might be in the invention of that follows you along. Your joy is my garden. Go ahead and sing. The moving fingers taking care of you as I need. Well, I walked away thinking about everything that fella said. Guess I spent too much time to worry. Too much time on self-care. It's a minute. Got myself stuck on the ground. So I grabbed some paper and ran in. Started writing off the stair. With a single word staring back at me. Finally.
Thank you once again, Doug. I'm going to ask everyone to take a moment of silence here. We'll bow our heads together. You can accept this as a prayer, meditation, just whatever the moment works for you. Let's bow our heads together. Somewhere along the way, we learn how to make this story for today safe. We turn a protest into a parade and a public execution into a plan. And we told ourselves everything was supposed to happen this way. But it wasn't. This was a moment when people got their hopes up. When they thought maybe, just maybe, something could actually change. And this was a moment when power made it clear how it responds to that kind of hope. We all know that feeling. We've seen it. We've felt it. That moment when something starts to shift. And then the pressure shows up, the fear shows up, the consequences show up. So don't let us look away from this story. Don't let us clean it up. Let us see it for what it is. Body exposed, life treated as disposable, a system making an example out of someone who refused to play along. And if we're honest, we know that still happens. Not just somewhere else, not just long time ago, here, now. In ways we sometimes notice and ways we sometimes benefit from without wanting to admit it. So maybe move past easy agreement, past nodding our heads and walking away unchanged, past thinking that seeing it is the same thing as standing in it. Let us find that the kind of courage that doesn't feel dramatic in the moment, just steady. Kind that shows up again tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. The kind that stays when it would be easier to step back. The kind that keeps choosing love, even when it costs something. And when hope starts to rise again, as it always does, may we see it clearly. Let us not dismiss it. Let us not stand at a distance from it. Let us be close enough to feel it, close enough to be changed by it, close enough that when the pressure comes, we are already standing where we need to be. Hosanna. Not just something we say, but something we live our way into. Hosanna. Something we do one choice at a time. Amen. Send this blessing. May you walk with each other in harmony, recognizing that we are one with creation. May you know love and happiness throughout your life. They share that love and happiness with all of those you meet. Doug, do you happen to have another one?
Give me a moment.
We would love to hear one more for you before we close out. Other people online would love to hear it as well.
Give me a moment to
sit. Take your time. We're not in any hurry. I put you on the spot there.
It happens from time to time. I'm just going to go with a pretty well-known kind of song.
We're all good, sir. I just know everybody loves to hear you play, so if we can get another one from you, we're going to do it.
Ah, here it is. Go ahead, sir. I heard there was a sacred chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift. The baffled king composing hallelujah. 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 Maybe I've been here before. I've seen this room and I've walked this floor. I used to live alone before I knew you. I've seen your flag on the marble arch, but love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Well, maybe there's a God above. But all I've ever learned from love was how to shoot somebody who outdrew you. It's not a cry you hear at night. It's not somebody who's seen the light. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. 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 Mm-hmm.